Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Henny, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden, your host of the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
Hi, and welcome to episode 429 of the Inexplicable Dumb Show. I'm John Malden, and this week I have actor Eric D. Pastel-Crosby joining me in Studio 1103 to discuss Nashville Rep's production of Death of a Salesman and his role in it. And we're going to get into that discussion just after, you guessed it, these brief messages.
Would you like to be a pal of the Inexplicable Dumb Show? Why don't you head on over to www.inexplicabledumbshow.com and look for the Hosting Donations Accepted button. Press that and make a donation and help the Dumb Show cover its web hosting fees. Your donation is greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support.
Hi, I am someone you will probably never meet.
Yet I ask you to take time to think about people you don't know but need your help. Children, some of them. And they don't all play,
in,
don't the
all play
course,
in the gutter, of course. Well, maybe if it's called for.
These men, women, and yes, even the children are professional actors. They want and need your time, money, and support.
For just pennies a second, you can enjoy the fruits of their labor. Make sure they know you heard about them on the Inexplicable Dumb Show. They may look at you funny, but that doesn't matter. It's for the children.
It's for the children.
It's time once again for some deep fried theater!
All right, IDSer, so I'm joined... this is a first. I'm joined by an actor in an ice pack. We've got actor Eric D. Pastel-Crosby, who's icing his tennis elbow.
Yes.
And we're going to discuss Nashville Rep's Death of a Salesman, and you are playing Biff. All right, so welcome, sir. How's it going?
Pretty good, other than the ice pack, obviously.
It's an IDS first.
Yes.
So you'll hear the occasional clink of ice as we talk. That's perfectly fine. I'm all about firsts at the stage in the IDS history, so it's a good thing. So, Nashville Rep doing Death of a Salesman, and you see, you've opened earlier this month, and you closed the 28th.
Yep.
So, by the end of this week, if you haven't seen it, you ain't going to. So, how's it going? How's the approach to the work and all that kind of stuff?
It's been really good. I love working with Chip Arnold, who's playing Willie Loman. I will work with Chip till the wheels fall off. He's one of those guys who you literally can just, as long as you've done your work, just go along with him, as long as you follow him, because he will go. He will snarl like a dog and come out and yell at you a lot, but he'll just go with you, which is great. Even when, you know, we all have those moments on stage where things start to fall apart.
You know,
set pieces decide to not do what they're supposed to do, stuff like that. But he's one of those, like, he just rolls, and it's great.
Cool.
Rona has never played my mom. She's playing Linda, and so it's cool to play with her in that role, because she's me. That's horrible. I just realized twice she's played a servant, and then one time she's played a queen in a show that I played. So one time she ruled over me, and the other two I ruled over her.
But it's not about status.
It's not at all about status. But this time she plays my mom, which is a lot of fun because she has the most amazing capacity to cry.
Wow.
And it's rough. It's rough to watch when someone's supposed to be playing your mom and they can cry that easily. It does half my job for me.
Right.
It's just like, oh God, you okay? let me get you, which is beautiful. And Matt's a lot of fun. He's playing Hap. So it's been fun working with some of these actors in a different capacity than I usually do. And it's been interesting working with Matt Garner, who's new to town, as Hap.
So
So, I mean, what's it been like to approach Arthur Miller? Not I mean, could you not take on one of the lesser known Arthur Millers? I mean, so
after the fall, let's do that.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah. So, I mean, how is it? Because there's, I imagine, because I felt this way when I worked on Chekhov. The piece itself carries a certain amount of weight, regardless of what happens in the story.
Yeah, we talked about that. Everyone, like this particular Arthur Miller, is in everyone's. It's in the culture. Like you can't really avoid it, but. We don't think a lot of people actually know what happens in the play.
Right.
Like everyone knows, oh yeah, Death of a Salesman is about the sad salesman.
Right.
What's the character on The Simpsons that the salesman, that Gil, who's actually more like Shelley Levine and Glengarry Glen Ross, but he's that archetype.
Right.
Everyone thinks they know what Death of a Salesman, and they're right, but there's so much more going on, and it's so interesting to when we started working on it to realize how much other stuff contributes
right.
to what we think of as the archetype for the play. So that was fascinating, approaching it from that standpoint. But yeah, both Chip and I were slightly terrified. we admitted it. We were like, yeah, this is both one of our dream roles. Crap.
Having said that.
No, now I got to go. Excuse me. I got to go get off book.
Right. So what's been the biggest challenge for you as an actor addressing the dream role?
Actually, the toughest thing for me is, since I do Biff's big monologue as an audition piece, is learning it how it fits in the play as opposed to as an audition piece. Because when you do an audition piece, you're summarizing the character in that monologue. Whereas in the scope of the play...
You have a longer arc.
It's information to get you to that arc. You know what I mean? So that's been an interesting. And also, stuff I cut out to make it a monologue, I have to put back in. So pretty much every night I'm going, that the edit or that the note that has to go in. Okay.
Those are his words.
Those are, say Arthur Miller's words. So that's been interesting. And it's been, we had such a short process. For multiple reasons. One day we lost because of snowpocalypse here in Nashville, Tennessee. Right.
Which was no joke, actually, this winter.
It really was. Like, we could not get to rehearsal. Chip, who lives up in Portland, couldn't even leave his house. He had, 8 inches of snow. So he's like, I'm sorry. Willie Loman can't be there.
Move on without me. The world already has.
Right? Exactly. So we had a shortened process, and we never really, we recovered, but it was always an interesting process. And a lot of the characters, the actors who played, like Patrick Waller and David Compton, came in later just because of that's how the scheduling had to work. But then we lost 2 days, one because of snow and one because Chip Arnold's mom died during the process.
Oh, no.
So it was an interesting, we sort of were cramming getting off book along with trying to get the runs of the show that you need as an actor in. And we got there. But for a little while there, everyone was kind of like, you in, you're in. Okay, let's go. And just kind of gritting and going.
Well, aside from the tragedy of Jib's, mother passing, those situations sometimes are really awesome. As far as a rehearsal process, because then the play has to find its legs literally in front of people.
Yes.
Which brings a whole new energy to each night, because it's literally still growing as the time the audience walks in.
Well, there's nothing that tops having actors on stage, all of you looking at each other and going, if you mess up, I'm going with you. there's really nothing that tops that energy.
Yeah, there's nothing more present.
Yes. And everyone is listening intentively, like, that is not my cue, but you are done talking. Okay, I'm going to say my line now.
It's close.
Dude, that'll work. We're going on. Yeah, exactly. Nothing really tops that energy. And to say whether that's, where you're supposed to be or not is a whole other issue. But that sort of, you're right, that energy kind of galvanizes the whole show, just because it's that. What's the Shakespeare in Love quote? How does it all work? It's a mystery.
Yeah,
it all just comes together.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Sometimes that does that. That literally is it.
Yeah.
So, how have the audience? You've gotten great reviews. So, how is the personal response?
It's been really good. It's funny because it's a tragedy.
Right.
The tragedy is in the title of the play. As we keep telling people, they're like, "It's so sad." I was like, "Well, you were warned."
Yeah,
death of a salesman.
Yeah.
But they've been really good. I've been really surprised how many people really enjoy this journey. It's not Schadenfreude in that people like...
Yeah, no one wants to see that part happen to somebody else, right?
But I think there's so much family-wise that people can relate to that they look past that. Mm-hmm. What they think they know about the play... And then they show up and they're like, oh, wow, this is actually what this is about. That archetype is in there, but this is what the journey is. I think is from talking to some of the audience members, that's what has connected with them.
So, I guess that's what makes it still relevant today is this character's kind of dissension and
yeah, well,
right? I mean, he has the world and then he doesn't have the world, right?
It's yeah. Well, and it's interesting. The fascinating thing is, like, it's not just the U.S. Like, Japan loves this play, and it's more about the family than it is about the salesman.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the U.S., it's more about the fail of the American dream, which I hate to say never is going to go out of style.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I guess, right.
Sadly.
Yeah.
Because I think we all had that... What does Eddie Izzard say? We pursue happiness, we pursue it. And it's that stubbornness that sort of stabs a lot of people in the back. Some people it works perfectly for, but a lot of people it ends up taking them down. I think a lot of people can either watch that because they know someone that's been in that track. Or it's them.
Or, yeah, they're going through it now or something like that.
Or afraid they're going to be on that path.
Right, right. So we can get tickets at NashvilleRep.org.
Yep.
And I will have, because we're going to end on that happy note if everybody ends up in despair. So again, tickets will be at NashvilleRep.org. I will have a link to that link at the show notes page for this particular episode at www.inexplicabledumbshow.com. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Hey, actors. Want to set up a website that is not a Facebook account? Yeah. Use your name as your domain name. Check out Dreamhost. It's easy to set up. And because you are a listener of the Inexplicable Dumb Show, you get a special treat. That's right. Go to www.dreamhost.com and enter this special code, IDS, all caps. You will receive 2 domain names with your web hosting package purchased from Dreamhost. But only if you use the promo code IDS. And remember to use all caps on that. Just another way you get buzzed by the Inexplicable Dumb Show.
So that's it. I'd like to thank actor Eric D. Pastor-Crosby for stopping by today in Studio 1103 to chat with me about Death of a Salesman at Nashville Rep. Again, ticket information that we discussed in the body of this podcast will be found on the show notes page for this particular episode at www.inexplicabledumbshow.com. Hey, do you want to be part of the Dumb Show? Please do so by calling the voicemail line 615-866-1282. Or put your thoughts in an email, podcast@inexplicabledumbshow.com. Or follow the show on Twitter, @inexplicableDS, @I, inexplicable, D, S. Find out the latest comings and goings and whatnot for the show via our Twitter feed. So next week, going to be our Easter special.
So we're going to celebrate the Easter time with the Rileys. We look forward to that. So until next week, this is John Malden saying, hey, I'll see ya. Bye.
What's a detergent?
Are you a music lover? Then let Magnatune dazzle you with how different we are from the rest of the music industry. Interesting independent artists in diverse genres. Perfect quality wave files in addition to MP3s and many other formats. Instant album downloads or traditional CDs by mail with free shipping. All this and half of every sale goes directly to the artist. So visit us now at Magnatune.com. That's M-A-G-N-A-T-U-N-E. Magnitude. We are not evil.
Blueberry. This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No East. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.